Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. So glad you could stay with us for our Bible study. Teacher Connie Stampfel is here. Hey, Connie, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. We are in day 17. That's our lesson today. And the title of it is Example of Sarah, Husband's Charge. This is going to be a great one, ladies. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. So if you have your Bibles open there. And I'm just going to start by reading those verses, and then our teacher Connie is going to teach. So it goes like this. It says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered."
Thank you, Amy. We've got a lot going on in just three short verses, but here in verse 5, we have a continuation of Peter's writing to the women. He had just, in the verse before that, told them that their adorning should be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And then he goes on and says in verse 5, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves." And really the principle is a woman who fears God, who trusts God, has a heart change that makes her a different person, that changes how she views the world, changes how she views her marriage and her husband. And then we are given the example, it says, by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham and calling him Lord. And we have a specific instance in Genesis where Sarah does, in love, I think, actually call Abraham her Lord. And really that's understanding that he is the leader and the head of their home. And so she was going to follow his lead. And as she did, that's how we are to do. We also know Sarah is quite an example of someone who came to trust God. Yeah. She was given that promised child, Isaac, who was going to be the person from whom all the children of Israel would come. And it's an incredible blessing. Again, he was a child of promise because he shouldn't have even been born, considering she was 90 or so when he was born. And so we, as we follow God like Sarah does, we have, again, a beautiful picture of a woman who is trusting God. And Peter goes on and he tells us that as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and then he says, "You are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening."
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
I was going to ask you now, I noticed that Peter didn't say, "So you are to call your husbands Lord." He didn't say that, did he?
We were not given that charge, no. But we are. We do know from Scripture that we are to respect their leadership.
Yes. Amen. All right. Just making that sure for ladies who are saying, "Wait, I'm supposed to call my husband Lord now?" No, that's not what that passage is saying.
No. And even if you go back and read Genesis 18:12 and just read the context and what Sarah said,
yes.
And it comes out very naturally. And, you know, that was how she referred to him at times. Anyway, The important point here is that we don't need to fear or have terror. If we are trusting God, God will take care of us. And so Peter's point here is that even for those women who may be married to a husband who has not yet come to understand God's word and be saved, they can trust God. And so that if they are living correctly and purely and respect their husband, they can trust that God will take care of them. I will put a note here in, though, that as women who are trusting God, we are not required to stay with a husband who is stay in a situation where we are in extreme danger of physical violence. And so I'll just say it right there that this is not telling women to submit to that type of sin, because that is against what God would have them do. And shortly we're going to be talking about how husbands are to love their wives. So that'll help us maybe clear it out. But any other thoughts, Amy, about
trusting
God?
I love this because Sarah did love her husband so much. And what a great example. And she learned to trust the Lord as well in the process of learning to love.
Right. That's so true. Actually, we are going to look next at a scripture, and this is going to be from Proverbs. And it's really talking about that Proverbs 31 woman. But yeah, we're going to see again how she trusted God and how that came out in her life, how she treated her husband, and also how she viewed her appearance.
All right. Well, this one is titled, in my version, The Woman Who Fears the Lord. And starting at verse 10, it says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life." And then picking it up in verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised."
Excellent. Well, again, that's pulling things all together from this passage of scripture for us. That's how Sarah was. She did good to Abraham. She trusted God. And it all comes, it stems from that fear of the Lord, which we hear throughout Proverbs about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's really the way to live. And so that's how Peter wraps up for how women are to interact with their husbands. Yeah. And he then goes on and he gives us just one sentence, one verse about how husbands are to live. And it says, "Likewise," so in the same way that women are to submit to their husbands, he goes on and says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman." And here we have, that means that they are supposed to be considerate, to understand a woman's way, to treat her actually probably as a princess, if you really think about it. And it's again, consideration and chivalry, and then that companionship, because we're talking about how the woman is to be a helper or a correspondent to the husband. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's something, again, men are instructed to do. We also find Paul instructing husbands about how they're to love their wives. And Amy, if you will read that section from Ephesians 5, it'll help us understand better the husband's duty.
This is Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 30, and it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present to the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body."
Yes. And so if a husband is loving his wife as his own body, as himself, that's a beautiful type of love. We find in Colossians 3:19, Paul writes there, he says, "Love your wives and do not be harsh with them." And so it's the same idea of being considerate and providing and protection. Going back to what Peter's writing to us here, it says, "Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman." And again, that word honor is the same one that we had a couple segments ago when we were talking about honoring the emperor. And so that means esteeming and valuing the woman. And he goes on and says, "as the weaker vessel." And the Greek literally is asthenos, which means without strength. And really, it's a comparison. And I believe the best way, at least that I can understand this, is that women generally are physically weaker than men are. Mm-hmm. And so they need to be gentle with us in some way. And we certainly know of women who could be in situations where there's harm and danger, and it's because they're not able to protect themselves from someone who's stronger. But the men are to understand that. And then he says, Peter writes, "since they are heirs with you of the grace of life." And so if we have marriage partners that are perhaps not both saved, then they have been given the grace of marriage, which is really the closest relationship on earth God has given us. And we've already read, Amy read about how that marriage of the husband and wife is a picture of Christ and the church.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing. And then truly, if the both parties, both the man and the woman, are saved, then they actually are brothers or sisters in Christ, and they are, again, heirs of eternal life, which is a beautiful thing. And then after all of this, Peter writes how the men are to treat the women and protect them and provide for them and be strength, even though they might be they probably are physically weaker. Then he goes in, he says, "so that your prayers may not be hindered." Mm. And so here the men are told that if they're not living with their wives, as God's word says, God will not be listening to their prayers.
Mm. Wow, that's an exhortation that I think we need to pay attention to.
Exactly. Yeah. one thing I forgot, Amy, if you would go ahead and read Galatians 3:28 and 29, that tells us a little bit more about how God views each and every person. We might be put in a different place in God's order and just the role we've been given, but we're still all very valuable to God.
Oh, we sure are. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise.
Right. And so we were pulling so many things together from Abraham and Sarah and promise and how husband and wives are to be and Jesus Christ and the church. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when we start to understand the pieces of how God has arranged things and what he calls us to do. Mm-hmm.
You know, ladies, I just want to remind you that if you think that you're, God loves you less than somebody else, even if it's a gender thing, a man, that is just not true. He loves us all the same. He designed us differently with different roles, but his love for us is perfect and equal in the kingdom.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to leave this here for now. But remember, the notes and the separate podcast of this Bible study will really be available for you right at naomistable.com. And you can use that to disciple women and really gather that fellowship of Christian women. It's so important that we sharpen one another as we go through this journey together. Well, ladies, we're going to take a break. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.